You are listening to Perplexity.
In today's special episode, I am unlocking the Patreon vault and sharing three stories where we will explore the underbelly of human behavior. Three allegedly true first-person encounters. Today we're talking about encountering dangerous individuals, the kind of people who walk amongst us with a mask of normalcy, until they don't. From chance encounters with violent strangers to manipulative predators hiding in plain sight, these stories will leave your hairs raised and your spine tingling. Because sometimes the most dangerous person is the one you never saw coming. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's episode, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you're a returning listener, hello, my friends. Welcome back. So happy you're here. I have a spooky episode for you guys today. There is some humor in these stories as well. I'm taking a little bit of a break this week. I've just had a lot of crazy things going on. But I will be back to my normal scheduled episodes next week. I have a great paranormal episode planned for you guys. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see that there's no video element today because we're doing a Patreon leak. This was volume 2 of my Creepy Stories from the Internet series. I recorded this a long time ago, so it was a throwback for me as well. But you'll hear three creepy stories, and I hope y'all enjoy them. It has been a while since I've recorded. I did a couple batch recordings like a while back, so I have quite a few announcements, so I'll get through those as quickly as I can, and then we will get into today's stories. So I have done two collabs, and I have not told y'all about them yet, so I wanted to make sure people knew. I did a guest read on Let's Not Meet podcast, and I feel like it's in the theme of today's episode because all these stories I'm reading you are from the Let's Not Meet subreddit, but this is the Let's Not Meet show hosted by Andy Tate, and it was a great full circle thing for me. I have submitted a story to Let's Not Meet years before I started podcasting, and Andy read it, we have mutual friends, and now I have gotten to do a guest spot on his show. I've also been on his other show before, Cryptic Encounters, but that was great, and I would highly recommend you guys go check out that episode because there's lots of great stories. And the other collab that I did recently is with Where the Weird Ones Are podcast. That is with Kevin. I've been on his show before, but this episode was a lot more laid back, funny, chaotic. It was me, him, and the girls from the Twisted and Uncorked podcast, Alicia and Sierra, just talking about a bunch of random stuff, including conspiracies. So go check that out as well. Perplexity is traveling the US this year, and I wanted to let listeners know in LA and Long Beach, California area, as well as in Denver, Colorado area, that I am going to be there very soon. I'm going to be in the LA Long Beach area Saturday, August 16th, and for like that whole weekend too, because I'm going to Midsummer Scream. It is so much fun. I've been before. It is a middle of the summer Halloween horror convention. So if I have any listeners there that want to meet up or are going to Midsummer Scream, be sure to come say hi. I'm going to be with some other creators as well from Drinking the Kool-Aid podcast. My girl's there. Stephen Ray Morris is going to be there. He used to do all the editing for My Favorite Murder, and he's a fantastic person. I think there's going to be some other creators there as well that I know, that so we'll just be hanging out in a group. And I'm sure there's going to be some listeners from those shows that will be meeting up with us as well. So come hang out. The tickets are pretty cheap and it is so much fun. And I will also be at CrimeCon when I go to Denver. So that's September 5th through 7th. I'll be there the whole weekend. Midsummer Scream, I'm just going to be there that Saturday. But if I have listeners that are going to CrimeCon, I would love to meet up with you and say hi. If you're just going to be in the Denver area and want to go to like a brewery or something, we'll figure something out. My fiance will be with me for both of those trips too. So it'll be lots of fun. And yeah, I would love to meet y'all. I also have a very important announcement. Please, please, everybody go check out the GoFundMe linked down in the show notes. About a month ago, for those of you who may not remember, I covered the Wilma June Nissen unsolved murder case, and I interviewed her daughter, Chrissy. Chrissy has started a GoFundMe because she is trying to raise enough money to get her mother's amplified DNA tested, because it really seems like this case is very close to getting solved if we could get amplified DNA testing done. And she's talking to all kinds of people to help her with this. It only makes sense, as someone who has covered this episode, to donate to this GoFundMe. So I have donated. And I want to put that down in the show notes for you guys, because if you're able to donate, that will really help. She doesn't have the financial means to get the testing done herself, and it's a couple grand. So if you're able to donate, go do that. If you're not able to donate, but you want to help, just share the GoFundMe link. I also wanted to welcome back to the Perplexed Society, my Patreon, Jennifer, rejoined at the highest tier. So she is getting, of course, early and ad-free episodes. That comes with any of the tiers. She's getting tons of bonus content. And she is going to get a t-shirt of her choice from the merch shop. So if that interests you guys, you can always go check out patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. And Jennifer, if you're listening to this, go check your Patreon messages, because I need your shirt size and what shirt you want. So these stories that we're reading today will be considered disturbing to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. So without further ado, let's get into this Patreon leak. Today I'm bringing you volume 2 of my creepy stories from the internet, and I'm going to be reading from the Let's Not Meet forum. I'm just going to be doing what I did last time, where I look for stories that had lots of upvotes. I have not screened these stories. These are totally random, so you'll get my honest reaction. This one is called The Man in My Backyard. Hi, my name is Anastasia, and a few days ago, something happened that makes me sick. We moved into an East Coast town about a year ago to be closer to family. So close, in fact, that my aunt, her wife, and my cousins are only a 10-minute walk from my house. Granted, we're very spaced out and borderline rural, despite living about 15 minutes from the outskirts of a big city. I was walking my two little dachshunds back home from my aunt's house. My mom hates it when I'm alone the majority of the day, so I spend time at their house, and I was genuinely enjoying my time. It was cold, but quiet and oddly beautiful. I got home, fed my pups and two birds, and FaceTimed a friend. I was talking with them and doing chores, and was admittedly being loud and giggly when taking out the trash to the cans on the side of my house. I get back inside and lay down in bed, still chatting, when my bird starts calling at something. Now, anyone who has owned a parrot knows that they have distinct noises for certain moments. She has been in my family for 76 years and with me my whole life. So I knew the sound was alarm / intrigue. Quick side note, I always forget how long parrots live. 76 years, that's insane. I brush it off as her seeing herself in the window reflection and go back to talking to my friend. I get up to get water and my back is to the sliding glass door. Thankfully locked, and my friend has the wind knocked out of him. I'm confused and think that he's hurt. He tells me, "Nastya, go back to your room now." I scoff, but then I see it in my camera view. There is a man with his face and hands pressed up against the glass door. He's a middle-aged white guy in a gray pullover and dark pants with a grin on his face. No fucking thank you. My friend, ever the best in panicked situations, tells me, "Don't look at him. Just go to your room." I was shaking so hard. I'm blubbering and decide to lock me and my dogs in the closet. My parrot is still going crazy. English is not my first language, and it's bad when I'm shocked. So I revert back to my native language, which he doesn't know. Luckily, my friend knows to take charge, and he tells me he'll be over in 10, and he calls the police. I'm thinking I can run to my mom's room and find the gun. So if the guy comes in the house, I can blow a quarter-sized hole in his chest. I'm debating getting up when I hear tapping on my window. It's slow and intentionally creepy, and my stupid dogs start barking. I'm ready to accept my death. I am a teenage girl, home alone, and I am about to die. Wait, my aunt should about to be leaving for work. I shoot her a quick text. Oh gosh, okay, I'm gonna try to read this correctly. This is not in English, so. She says, the text said, "Emmy, da ist ein Mann an meinem Fenster, bitte helf mir." And then she doesn't say what that means. So I'm assuming it's something like, there's a creepy ass dude at my window. The tapping has stopped and I think it's over when I realize something that makes my balls drop into my chest. Oh my gosh. The figurative language from non-English speakers is always so cute and funny. A girl saying, "my balls dropped into my chest," is just hysterical to me. I left the front door unlocked when I took out the trash. This keeps getting worse, and I beg my friend to hurry. The tapping thankfully returns to my window, and I can only close my eyes and hope that someone gets here fast. It feels like an eternity, crying to another teen who's breaking multiple traffic laws. Never before have I been grateful to hear another man's voice yelling outside my house at 1 a.m. It was my godsend neighbor. Apparently, his pregnant wife was having bad nausea and went out to the deck, and where it's situated, you can see my whole backyard. She got a bad feeling after seeing the unfamiliar man approaching my door and woke her husband to check it out. I will thank God every day for her because I think she saved my life. I let my neighbors into my house and my aunt comes about 4 minutes later, packing major heat, my friend not looking after her. I go from home to an impromptu house party of concerned people. The police came. Okay, this is what I was wondering. It's like, where are the cops? The police came like 10 minutes later. Like they didn't just take 30 minutes to arrive to the scene. What the freak? Is this normal? On the brighter side, my bird wasn't too alerted by this encounter and went back to eating not 5 minutes later, and my dogs were just happy to see people. My friend has been staying the night with me since. I'm finding it hard to be home alone, despite the fact that an arrest was made. Oh, that's good. I'm so thankful that my neighbor had such good instincts and that my aunt and friend were so quick on their feet, because this could have been a lot worse. So, man at my window, let's not meet. So fucking creepy. That does remind me a little bit of the personal story that I shared last week of the creepy guy knocking on my door, like pizza delivery with no pizza of any kind in his hand. Okay, I'm glad she's okay. Let's find another story. Ooh, okay. This one also has a lot of upvotes, and it is called Chased by a Naked Man in the Forest. So I apologize in advance for what I'm probably about to read. Hey y'all, this took place in the summer of 2022, and I just never thought of writing down the story because I was so stunned that it happened to me. Ha ha. So every summer in my city, me and my friends like to make small campfires in chill, secluded areas because we don't want to drive an hour to an actual campsite and pay any campsite fee to do so. These also happen pretty spontaneously, so it's a nice last-minute hang to do. There's this one spot near my house that's located by a river that's really nice because no one usually goes there. The only thing to be worried about are bears, though because living in the Pacific Northwest is challenging like that. And my house specifically is located right next to mountains and forest. So one particular night, at 11 p.m., I decided to go ahead of my friends and meet them at the spot and set things up early, because I want us to be chilling once they all get there. The spot I get to has a 2-minute paved walkway I have to go through, and then I have to take a small trail, ramping down the right side of the bridge that crosses over the river. Along this paved walkway is two lamps located at halfway and another at the start of the bridge, the ramp down to the campfire spot. I park my car at the beginning of the trail on the street and bring my campfire stuff, like flashlight, lighter, small firewood, small shovel to dig out the pit, etc. I get to the spot and it's a small sandy beach, kind of embankment, on the side of the river with a small waiting area for toddlers and their families during the hot summers. So I set up the chair, I get to digging the pit, with only my flashlight illuminating where I'm digging. I'm also just shoveling the sand right next to me, nowhere near the water. But all of a sudden, I hear a loud splash. A splash so loud that it could only come from something equally large, like a two-hand-sized rock. I'm confused because I swear I'm not throwing my sand into the water, even though I'm only a few feet away. I shine my flashlight at the water, and I don't see anything. So I kind of brush it off, thinking I'm just hearing things. But as I keep shoveling a bit more, I hear another loud splash. At this point, I think something is falling from above because, logically, something must be falling into the water. I point the flashlight above where some trees are above the river and I don't see anything big enough to make a splash. So I keep digging, with my heart rate kinda going at this point. I hear a rustling past the arch of where the bridge goes over the river. I quickly grab my light and shine it towards where I heard the rustling. I call out, "Hello?" No response. In my head, if it was a bear, I should be getting out of there immediately. But there was no bear or sign of anything for that matter. So I tell myself I'm just hearing things now because I've seen horror movies before. And now my mind is playing tricks on me. But I hear the noise again, and it clearly sounds like leaves being rustled. So I shine my flashlight over to the area again, and as I focus my eyes towards the illuminated area, I see the naked back of a man hunched over. Ew. Disgusting. I was kind of frozen in anxiety and stress because, honestly, of all of the things I wanted to see, I didn't think I would see the naked back of a man. From the quick analysis my brain could muster, he looked to be in his mid-40s, shaved, not bald, and medium-ish build, like a mix between chubby and built. As I had my flashlight staying on his back, he started to stand up, and the first thing I noticed was he wasn't wearing any pants either. My next reflex was to start packing up all my crap and getting the hell out of there, because now I'm piecing in my head he must have been throwing things into the water to scare me or shoo me away. So after using my reflexive, deductive skills, I proceeded to speed walk out of there with all of my stuff. I'm carrying all my things with me and briskly walk up to the small ramp, and I'm on the paved path now, out of the forest. I can feel my heart beating in my chest, and I'm frequently looking back to make sure I'm not being followed. I'm in Crocs, mind you, so I'm hoping that if I have to book it out of there, I'd regret not being in sport mode from the get-go. I make it to the halfway point, and I sense relief starting to set in, knowing I made it safely out of this very scary situation. But as I check behind me, for the final time, I see something. Slowly creeping over the ramp is the naked man. crawling on all fours, as if he was a primate, walking. I hate this story so much. This is like my worst nightmare. It's the ring is already so scary. It's like the little girl with the dark hair crawling on all fours, right? I feel strongly that the only way to make that scarier is to swap it out for a naked man. Okay. His head was positioned towards me, looking at me as he made his way to the middle of the paved walkway. He slowly gets up from his stance and starts standing on his feet and positions his body to face me. After setting himself into his new position, the man starts running towards me. I freaking book it. I run as hard as I can down the path. My flashlight jumped out of my pocket and I lost it, but I didn't care because a whole naked ass man was chasing me at 11 p.m. at night in a secluded forest. I looked back for a split second and the man was still running towards me, still completely naked. Well, yeah. Can you imagine? She like turns around and all of a sudden he has clothes on. I'm so sorry. Oh my God. I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable. I just want to clarify that. Oh, okay. He could have my flashlight for all I care. I wanted to make it out of the situation alive. I finally make it out of the forest and I run to my car, which is only 30 feet from the end of the forest. I desperately get to my car and like a classic horror movie, I fumble with trying to get my key fob to unlock my door. Oh my fucking God. I actually drop my keys and quickly think to myself, I'm actually dead. But I brush the thought off and pick them back up. I get my fob properly, unlock my doors, and throw my things into my back seat before getting into my car. Girl, just throw it all in there. Why are you throwing stuff in your back seat? This felt like an eternity, but in hindsight, most likely took 6 seconds altogether. As I try to guide my key into the ignition, I am fixated on the end of the paved path that I was just at a few seconds ago, waiting to see if the naked man was coming still. I feel my key go into the ignition, and I switch my sights onto the road in front of me, and I zoom out of the area as fast as possible. As I drive away, I'm a good 30 seconds from the location of the horror that just took place. I get a call on my phone. It was my friends calling me and asking if I made it to the spot yet. All I have to say to them is, "Guys, do I have a crazy story to tell you?" They pull up to my house because, again, it was actually decently close to the campfire area. And I tell them the whole story the way that I just told it now. They swear that it was none of them trying to prank me or anything like that. And I also knew none of them would try to full sprint on me with with their dong out. But as we're just talking out in front of my house, there's a college student who looks like he's walking home that's going towards the direction of where I encountered the naked man. I just yelled out to him, "Yo, be careful. There's a naked guy that was chasing me by the bridge that crosses over the river." He responds saying, "Oh damn, really? I just gotta go over that bridge to go home." All I tell him is, "Good luck, man." The next day, I reported it to police by phone, but they sent over an officer so I could tell them in person and show them where in the area I saw these things. When we went to see where I initially saw the man's back hunched over, they said they didn't see any trace of anyone being there previously. But the officer said they could make note of it anyways in case something happens again. Some friends say it's a skinwalker. Ooh! I don't think so, but that's an interesting theory. Others say more realistically it's either a homeless, mentally ill, or drunk/high person. One theory I've heard my friends say is that it's a future version of me pulling a prank on past version of me, because honestly, when time travel is real, I would totally screw with my younger self like that. So that is the only crazy let's not meet story I have, but damn, is it a story I will never forget. Edit. I realize I said I had a chair with me, but now I remember I didn't have one with me this time. Usually I do have a camping chair, but since I was by myself, it was quite a lot to bring by myself. Oh my god. It's like so scary, but it's also hilarious. Like, just the image and then the part about like him having his dong out. It's just so funny. And I'm very glad that this person is okay. I'm also glad, like, I hope this makes sense, but I'm also glad that this person was another dude that could potentially like take him on if he needed to, you know, like beat the shit out of him. Ugh. Okay, that was a good one. This one is called Crazy Conspiracy Theorist Classmate Low-Key Admitted to Have Contributed to Her Husband's Passing. Okie dokie then. Hi everyone, this is my first post on Reddit ever. Hope this is the right subreddit to submit my story to. I have to premise that English is not my first language, so apologies for any mistakes in this text going forward. With that said, strap in, because it's going to be a long post. So where to even begin? In my country, the government decided to push free professional classes to anyone who's either benefiting from welfare or just unemployed. I, a 30-year-old female, decided to enroll in one of these classes before moving to another state next year, just to have something more on my CV and to have an excuse to touch grass since I'm unemployed. And I specifically picked a social media marketing and management formation that started 3 months ago. Everything was great about it, and it seemed to me all my classmates and professors were great people. I even started to make some friends. I must point out that no one in my class is underage, the youngest being 21 and the oldest 56. After a couple of weeks of classes, they introduced us to the main curriculum of the whole course that will involve a months-long group project among students. The project consists in inventing a brand from the ground up and marketing it on social media, as if it's a real thing about to launch on the market. I was super excited about this, and I couldn't wait to face this challenge. They picked the groups at random, and the RNG gods chose for me to be paired with a 56-year-old woman. We'll call her M. She barely spoke to anyone until that point. Thinking she was nothing but a nice lady, I tried to accommodate her for any preferences she'd have on the project, such as choosing what the topic would be about. She immediately starts telling me half of her life story, just out of nowhere, and focused particularly about a skin issue she had that she claimed doctors only made worse and how she cured herself with herbs and essential oils. In hindsight, this was already the first red flag. Her rambling just left me scratching my head. And just to break the awkward silence, I said we could pick that as a brand idea. Natural remedies, food supplements, and cosmetics brand that's not some MLM or a cult. And she immediately agreed and smiled like a little girl, which back then made me kind of happy. After then, she picked the name, idea for the logo, and motto without asking me for an opinion, saying it felt important to her. Put a pin in this for later. And that since I had no experience with this niche, I should learn from her. She insisted so much I had to comply, and that's when hell started for me. She would call and message me on WhatsApp constantly, insisting to see me work in real time on the designs, logos, mock-ups, etc., because she needed to supervise my actions. Her excuse being I'm a little girl that hasn't known the world yet. She never liked any of my works and forced me to redo things over and over again. I'm on the spectrum and have a very hard time setting boundaries with people or dealing with the idea of displeasing someone. So I kept pushing myself to stay strong and keep going because I couldn't deal with how this woman would have reacted to anything she might have seen as insubordination. On top of the fact I didn't want to fail the course, and from the beginning, all of our profs insisted the group project was vital to the final score. It's in one of those calls that she starts telling me, some of the most unhinged shit I've ever heard in my life. After seeing me drink a sip of an energy drink, she screamed at me to toss that garbage away and then explains to me the reason why. In her opinion, energy drinks, sodas, and junk food are infested with nanomachines. Oh God, okay, it's one of these people. Okay, I'm just mentally preparing for what the bullshit that I'm about to read. Infested with nanomachines that infect the human body and rewrites their DNA. She then explains that that's because the great powers are not aliens like most think, but androids and AI hive minds, ready to enslave humanity through biomechanical control. She also keeps going on about how AIs exist since before Christ, came from an ancient civilization before the Great Reset, and that all great men in history were actually androids or giants. Parentheses. She did go on a great tangent about Nephilims and such. Close parentheses. So if anyone knows what Nephilims are, let me know in the comments. She also threw in the fact that she's sure dinosaurs are nothing but a fairy tale and could have never existed. So in her opinion, big people can exist, but big birds can't. LOL. Like, lady, there's so many bones that have been found of these things in the ground that have been studied, like, by so many scientists and experts. Like, I do not understand the people who don't think dinosaurs are real. Like, do you think people built and constructed those bones and made it all up? For what? The first incident, the biggest one, happened last month on one weekend evening where instead of slaving away for her, I went out with my mom to visit some friends and be back home the next morning. I forgot my phone at home and realized too late. But since M and I had not agreed to work that night, I thought nothing of it. Oh man, was I naive. My phone was blown up with messages and phone calls all from M, except a couple messages from other classmates of mine that told me she called them obsessively with demands of them showing up at my front door to make sure I was okay. Later that week, I get called into the school administration because M apparently had called them too and told them that I had gone missing for 3 to 4 days. I tried in vain to keep it together and just bursted into tears in front of the secretaries, telling them and showing them all that this woman was putting me through, explaining my boundary setting issues, and they decided to immediately inform the profs and find a solution that would have allowed me to not have any more contact with her. But before they could take any actions, me and M are informed one more student was going to join in our group. We'll call him T. Nothing much to say about him. He's super nice and did help out that following week by not complying to M's demands and unreasonable standards, insisting I take time off to do my own things too. For some reason, she never bitched about decisions made by T. Yeah, because she probably is like one of those ignorant women that thinks that women are like lesser than, you know? It's giving that vibe to me. Supports men, doesn't support women. In my last call with M and T, M goes on another unhinged rant. This one will be relevant later. And it's what makes this story fucked up on multiple levels. She claimed she's being gang-stalked and sabotaged by Big Pharma because she invented a miracle ointment that could reconstruct any sort of biological tissue. She said she tested it on the hand of a friend of hers that had third-degree burns, claiming that she saw the nerves, tendons, muscles, and skin grow back, saving the hand. She then added that a prototype of said ointment that mostly consisted of garlic and aloe cured her husband from cancer a few years back. She also added, like how after an accident over a decade ago, the doctors decided to quote-unquote sabotage her uterus during an emergency surgery to prevent her from having children. More of the Big Pharma sabotages also involved several lawsuits that she was involved in. She concludes that she's taking SMM classes with us because she wants to learn how to communicate with social media and the new generations. I'm personally afraid she's going to try to scam desperate people into buying her BS miracle cure. The second incident happened the next day before class. A friend decided to sit next to me since that class of the day wasn't going to involve group projects. We put our stuff on the desk and since we were early, decided to go into the next room to get a coffee. M comes in and we hear a commotion in the classroom. When we peek inside, we see her tossing my friend's stuff to another desk. My friend asked what the hell she was doing, and M just coldly responded, "The seat next to OP is mine." Original poster, for those who don't know. I nodded at my friend as if to say, it's okay, to try and diffuse the situation before it escalated. 2 days later, I get informed that I was swapped from M's group to another one. I will say that finally I'm working with the girl I made friends with and we're having a lot of good fun. So, well, I thought it was over. No more of M's weird shit. Right? Right? The calls and messages from her never ended. Actually, she started obsessively calling the school and the profs as well to protest about the decision of removing me from her group. Her texts were filled with weird, trivial questions about random topics or very personal questions, up to 50, 60 texts per day. At this point, I stopped responding almost entirely to her and screenshotted everything she was sending me. This leads us to the third and last incident, at least so far, that happened last week. I can't go too much into detail because it involves geopolitical beliefs and I don't want a war in the comments. The short, clean version of events is, M, in class, asked the prof a question that involved a very important global matter. Two people spoke before I did, giving examples of people or brands getting canceled for sharing political stances unwisely, and how a problematic or controversial history or presence on social media might impact negatively one's chances of employment. It was only once back home I realized M had sent me several rage-filled texts claiming I was incredibly rude to have, quote, answered her instead of letting the professor answer, and that she was expecting my apologies. I wrote a long text to her, explaining myself, told her I would not apologize since I had done nothing wrong, and finally blocked her number. She thankfully hasn't been able to find me on social media yet because I don't use my real name online. Since then, she's been missing all classes, which is nice because I really didn't want her to try and confront me in person. But it's what I've learned today and from one of my classmates during break that left me horrified and pushed to write this post. One of my classmates, we'll call her Y, told me M and her had been exchanging texts from time to time, mostly because Y took pity on M, thinking, like I did at first, that she was just some weird, old, and lonely lady. In one batch of texts, she goes into detail about her husband that had passed away from cancer a few years back. Some of the texts read, "We fought tooth and nail. We didn't bend over to men nor God, but they took him away from me anyway. I was so close to keep him with me. At least I know he trusted and followed me until the end." These are verbatim, because after putting two and two together, me and Y figure that she's either, one bullet point, delusional and lying about everything, or, second bullet point, she tried to cure her husband from cancer with her ointment instead of traditional medicine, effectively killing him. Also, we found out she's already selling her services inside of SPA, belonging to a relative of hers, using the name she picked for our project. She's also been using my work for her personal social media pages involving her services, which explains why she was so obsessive about supervising my work. She was basically getting free commissions out of me. Today was my last day of class before the Christmas holidays. And after that, it's just going to be 3 more months until classes are over. I don't know where this story will lead me further, but honestly, I hope she never shows up to class ever again. I'm really hoping to not have to come back with more updates. Wow. Oh my gosh. What a delusional, mentally ill woman. That is so awful. I feel like I've just been saying this story after story, but I'm glad this person is okay. And yeah, it seems like she's clearly dangerous. Obviously, we don't know who this woman is, but be on the lookout for an MLM selling ointment that claims to cure cancer. If the main leader is an old baddie woman, we might have our gal. Okay, so I think that's going to be my last story, guys. I do want to shout out the people who wrote the stories that I read today. So the first story was written by Reddit user -new_journey-. The second story was written by Reddit user Fred Balce, B-A-L-C-E. And the third story was written by Reddit user Scarlett A.K. I hope you guys enjoyed this special Patreon leak. If you did, be sure to let me know. Drop a comment down below if you're listening on YouTube. If you are listening on Spotify, you can also leave a comment. And if you haven't done so yet, I would love if you leave a 5-star review, subscribe, all of the things. Continue to share the show with your friends. Each time you leave reviews, it really helps the show as well. So thank you in advance for that. And if you liked today's episode, I would encourage you to check out my Creepy Stories from the Internet series over on patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. I have tons of stuff on there, including early and ad-free episodes too, and that's a great way to support the show. And just reminding everybody again, if you're able to donate to the Wilma June Nissen Amplified DNA Fund, go check out the GoFundMe link in the show notes. If you are a California or a Colorado listener, don't forget, I'm going to be at Midsummer Scream this year and at CrimeCon. Thank you guys so much for listening. You all are amazing. I hope you have the best week. Please stay safe, and I will talk to you next week, where we will be back with our regularly scheduled programming. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast. Hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brannon. Assistant producer is TJ McRae. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by leaving a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really is the best way to support. Have a topic request or a perplexing story of your own you'd like to share? Send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support the show further and unlock exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Perplexity merch and additional support links can be found in the episode description. Until next week, stay curious.